When it comes to investing, whether you're looking for it or not, trouble sometimes finds you. But you're a lot better off if you find it first and then can avoid the trouble. So we're going looking for trouble, and then we'll tell you how to sidestep it. This is The Danger Zone. Welcome to The Danger Zone on Money Life, where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And that scale is based on their analysis, which is discounted cash flow analysis meets forensic accounting. But it's done differently. They dig in at the bottom, the footnotes level, and work their way up. Because sometimes when you're just working at the surface level, well, beauty's only skin deep. Sometimes you need to ask another question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
It is possible. And if you find it, well, you're looking at a dangerous stock. So says David Trainer, president at New Constructs. You can find out all about the process. You can learn the most attractive and most dangerous stocks by going to their website, newconstructs.com, and they blog about their danger zone picks. So there's always more information on the details we give you here on Money Life. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Rivian.
Danger, danger.
Rivian, it's an IPO, and so this is bad out of the box on what I believe is going to be ticker symbol RIVN. What's the problem here?
Oh, man, this thing is just so absurdly overvalued. This is another company just trying to cash in on the whole sort of greenwashing effect that I think is ultimately, you know, could lead to some very serious dislocations of capital that can is going to hurt our society. But, you know, look, I mean, the implied IPO valuation of $80 billion just makes no sense. It's even more overvalued than Tesla, let me put it that way.
Well, knowing how much you dislike Tesla, that one's hard to believe. You used a term in there, greenwashing. It is not terms that other folks might necessarily be familiar with, like green mail or what have you. Greenwashing is not necessarily an investment term, but it is something that is impacting the investment world. You want to explain it?
Yeah, I just mean there where everyone feels like by virtue of investing in anything that is remotely considered ESG or environmentally friendly, they're doing right. They're making smart investments. And that's just not the case. It's become crowded. So people are rushing in to make investments without regard to price. And a lot of what they consider green is not so green after all. I mean, the EV market, for one, requires a lot of burning of coal to generate the electricity to run these or to fill these batteries, charge these batteries. The batteries themselves are going to represent a huge landfill and waste issue. So it's not as obvious and easy as it seems. Certainly it will help reduce emissions. And we want to move in that direction long term. But one of the things we're missing is that we're not going to be able to move there overnight. The EV market is really not even expected to be more than 30 million vehicles by the end of 2030. So in the meantime, we got to maintain infrastructure to move people around, to heat people's homes, et cetera, or we're going to be in trouble and not really be able to bridge the gap between where we are now and where we theoretically want to be. And so this greenwashing, I think, is leading to misallocations of capital that could hurt our economy.
Well, it's not easy being green. We all learned that from Kermit the Frog. But I will also point out that I was reading about Rivian. It's an electric truck and delivery van manufacturer. And my thought was, you know, not only do we have the supply chain shortage, and you think, well, maybe with a shortage, that'd be good for those things. But of course, we have a shortage of people to drive those things to deliver. So I would think this is a bad time to be bringing this stuff out. And yet they're coming out with ridiculous numbers. Explain how big these numbers are for it to be as off the chain as you think it is.
Well, you know, the valuation implies that there'll be 20% of the entire EV market. They'll have 12% of market share of the entire electric vehicle market by 2030. They're going to be able to manufacture four times as many vehicles as Tesla did over the trailing 12 months, sell four times as many F-150s as Ford sold in 2020. By the way, the F-150 is the best-selling truck of all time.
Right.
Effectively, it's priced for beyond perfection. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be like the next one at F-150. We just know that's not the case, especially when we're looking at like a price tag around 70 grand. right? You know, if you lower the price to something more realistic, you're talking about selling more like 5 or 6 million vehicles as opposed to just 3 million vehicles at the $70,000 average selling price, which is what the 12% market share and the 4x Tesla and 4x F-150s numbers implied.
So this company out of the box, is this all about stupid money risk? Is this about one of those IPOs that when the market figures it out, they're not going to wind up doing it? What's the logical outcome here?
I don't know if logic plays much of a role these days, Chuck. just imagine, like, I don't think they've sold a single vehicle, right? I think they maybe have produced one or two, and they already have a market cap the same as GM, bigger than BMW and Ford and Honda and Nissan, right? And so it's like, you know, okay, all right, let's just assume everything's going to go beyond perfect for this company. So, look, I don't know what it's going to take for people to get rational. You know, I've been tooting this horn for a long time, and I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know when it's going to get rational. I don't know if it will, but for what it's worth, I don't think it's a good idea to buy this IPO anywhere close to this price.
Is there a price that you would be okay with it? Is there a value, if it's not going to have the $80 billion market value that it's projected to have, is there a market value that you're comfortable with on this?
I mean, maybe 10. You know, I don't know. I mean, it'd have to come way, way down. We did a scenario that looked at, goodness gracious, even if they get to a profit margin of positive 6%, which is rather high compared to all the other vehicle makers, and they have to grow revenue 175% compounded annually over the next decade, they're worth $13 billion.
So that's an 85% haircut from what folks
right.
think it's going to be. And
right.
well, yeah.
And I guess 175% compounded annually is maybe not such a big number when you consider the fact that it's, you know, starting with a basically almost no revenue. But, you know, if you assume with those numbers, those projections, an average selling price of $38,000, which is the average new car price in the U.S. in 2020, then they'll sell 650,000 vehicles in 2030, which is 110% or 10% more than the number of Chevrolet Silverados sold in 2020 and 83% of the F-150 sold in 2020.
It's unrealistic, and that's why Rivian, R-I-V-N, the ticker, well, right out of the box, it is an IPO, and it's in the danger zone. David Trainer, thanks as always.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chuck.
David Trainer is the president at New Constructs. Check out newconstructs.com for more information on Twitter at New Constructs.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.